Smith. Now, tell us about Patti Smith, Bono. Why did we play Glory?
I played that song, Patti Smith, and the song that was before was Subterranean Homesick Blues. I played from, was it Taking It All Back Home?
Bringing It All Back Home.
Bringing It All Back Home. Played that for a girl called Sinead O'Connor, who I think is just the best singer there ever was. She's a...
Tom Tom McCoot.
Yeah, she used to sing for a group called Tom Tom McCoot, and she's going over to London just about to get things going for herself, and I just think she's something else.
She also co-wrote the Take My Hand single for Into an Hour.
That's correct. Go this guy.
You can't say it.
It's good. But also the reason for playing Gloria, apart from the fact that we have a song called Gloria, and apart from the fact...
Well, we know a girl called Gloria.
Apart from the fact that Van Morrison wrote it, it's just... Patti Smith really inspired us into being you two. And she started off with a very kind of anger towards God, I suppose. Just had a real anger, and she just exploded on stage. And then we're just watching that anger develop through various records, Radio Ethiopia, and on into Easter and Wave, where it seemed to come to some sort of conclusion. Again inspired us. Easter really gave us the courage to make a record like October. And I'm very pleased to hear that she's now making a record again. And her guitar player, Lenny Kaye, was at Madison Square Gardens. And apart from the concert, that was one of the highlights to meet him. So I just wanted to play it.
Well, what do you think about some people who might have thought, for instance, what I was saying earlier on about War, that War was just another rock and roll album, that people are looking for innovation all the time, and they don't realise that within rock and roll you can have that innovation. For instance, Bruce Springsteen, the same three chords were always rock and roll, and he's saying more than anybody these days. I mean, like, do you think that that's an unfair criticism if War was just a...
Well, it's set against the time, you know. We had made two very atmospheric records, Boy and October. War was deliberately stripped bare. Was deliberately rock and roll, because at the time it was all a kind of slush and slosh disco music that was being made in the guise of subversive music.
We also had Adam, I mean, as our secret weapon.
That's
the
right.
Personification of the term innovation. Here's the man in Drowning Man who was playing 15-8 time signature against
Arthur. That's true.
No, I think in many ways the whole point of making records, people forget. You talk about making records for the street, but there's two streets. There's a street that journalists from the NME walk upon, and there's the street that the real people walk upon. And I think War was a record that put the noses of such people on the NME street out of joint. But I think it proved itself as being in touch with what people really wanted and what they were in tune to, and it spoke to people. And I think Bruce Springsteen has been making that point for years now, at least 10, if not more.
Mm. Well, what about the whole thing about the pressure now? I mean, like the big top that you've reached that people say you have.
Big Tom?
No, the big top, which you mentioned.
We've never reached that.
I mean, like, for instance, I talk to a lot of people now in New York at that time, and, like, are you aware of a responsibility even that you might have, that people believe that sort of you articulate the alienation of young people and all this sort of thing?
Oh, I mean, seriously. What are young... One thing I really used to just bug me, right? It just bugged me so much was whenever I heard the description young people, like programs for young people, you know, on television or on radio. What is a young person?
Well, neither of us are that anymore.
No, I mean, I just can't stand that. Young people. God, it used to make me sick, you know. Or, in fact, I think somebody was misquoted recently as describing our audience as, you know, well, the kids... The kids. I'm a kid. What a terrible thing to call an audience kids. I just can't get into this, you know. We speak for young people. I speak for myself, and they can speak for themselves, and they don't need us, but we need each other.
Well, when Gareth Fitzgerald wanted you on his emergency unemployment committee, I mean, like, how about that one?
Well, the reason I was there was on this committee was purely to make sure that when the term young people was mentioned, I could put my hand up and say, hey, I'm one of them, right? I mean, young people. God. Sorry about this. Is this a young
person's programme.
No, this is the young person's slot.
That's the way that people probably in RTE think about this show. We have to have a programme and play rock and roll music for the young people to keep them happy.
Sure, Dave's the oldest swing.
Well, 65,000 people turn up to see Bruce Springsteen. 50 or 60,000 people are turning up to see you too. And that proves, and they're not all young people. Rock and roll music has grown up, and it's about time the people on radio gave it some space. And I'm sickened, for instance, to hear that the BP Fallon Orchestra seems to be getting smaller and smaller space on the airwaves, because next to this particular program, as I said earlier, was my favorite program on the air. I'm really upset about that. And if Radio 2 is going 24 hours, I would have thought that it would give more space to rock and roll, not less space. So
yeah, BP's program should be a good 3-hour binge on a Saturday night.
Maybe.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, every night.
Yeah, that's the way I'd feel about it. Sorry, what question did you ask me to get that answer?
I haven't a clue. It was about Gareth Fitzgerald's employment thing. But no,
I
maybe
think Gareth is a disc jockey.
Let's just go on with another question. Ed, you said once that the greatest threat to the career of U2 or any other band is financial success.
That was before he got his American Express card.
I don't know. I suppose a young group, we were just struggling to get shows, to get any sort of work at all. That really was the only thing we had time to worry about. When suddenly you get a record deal and you've made one or two records and you're touring and you suddenly you have a wage, you have some money. I don't know, some of the real kind of urgency seems to go out of it, or for a lot of groups it does. In the past, I suppose, you know, we've seen a lot of groups that just lost the drive, lost the spark. But I think we as a band, and I think most groups now, see that danger. They understand that it's kind of natural, that people kind of, once they actually become to a certain extent secure, they lay back a bit. And really, it's just being aware of that is almost, you know, the end of the problem.
I think in many ways what happened was those bands during the 60s and the early 70s, they suddenly got wealth and they thought that it was a reward for their talent that they brought to the world. And they sort of, they actually forgot about their audience and they forgot about the reality of what put them there and the commitment that was involved. And I think these days with our contemporaries, people like the Pretenders, Simple Minds, Eurythmics, in many ways, these bands from out of the city who don't walk on Fashion Row or whatever, I think having spoken to all these people concerned, I think they realize that the financial reward that comes in really is something that can flavor the quality of what you do, because you've got that much more freedom to invest in various ideas and pursuits that you want to follow musically. It's not something you squander on mansions or Porsches or whatever. I think everyone has learned that lesson over the last 10 years.
Mm. Well, Larry, what about you in terms of, like, for instance, do you think you've got past the point, say, where you feel you have to react to sort of not having a private life? I mean, like, if you walk down a street anywhere in any major city around the world, you're going to be recognised, right? Now, do you mind it in Dublin as much as you might mind it elsewhere?
Well, you've asked the wrong person that particular question. Cause
that only happens when he's wearing his Bono disguise.
I actually don't have the same problem as maybe the rest of the guys do, because I go out a lot. I'm always in town, so people are used to seeing me around and don't usually hassle me. And especially in Dublin, people don't tend to hassle you. People tend to want to come and shake your hand or look for an autograph and all sorts of stuff, and that's fair enough. You find in some other countries, especially places like London and all that, that people actually do hassle you. They sort of pull out of you and start to follow you. Over here,
they don't generally do that, and if they do, you know, you can say to them, listen, leave it out, and they will. But I don't particularly find it a real hassle. Like, someone like Bono would, actually, but he's got this friend called Bernard, known as his alter ego.
Saint Bernard.
And the great thing is, this guy goes out as Bernard, and people still come up and say, how are you, Bono? How's it going? So it doesn't really work that well, but no, as I say, it's not a huge hassle for us in Dublin. It's more a hassle outside Ireland, which is great, you know.
Yeah. Well, people know us for who we are in this city anyway, and in the rest of cities, you know, Belfast, Derry, all the audience you have out there, it's the same situation. People, I think, when they're coming to Croke Park as well, you know, people are coming. We're not rock and roll stars in that fashion. We grew up in the same streets they grew up, and I think they're applauding themselves as much as they're applauding us. That's the way I like to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what about, for instance, like the high of being on stage? I mean, playing to so many people and so many different gigs, like especially that 40-day tour of America. And you go back to the hotel room sometimes, and it's just, you know, it's just a total down, maybe. I mean,
no, Edge keeps you up all night.
But like, in the maybe, like, people will treat you sometimes now as a pop star rather than as a person when you used to meet them after gigs.
No, I'll tell you, no. No money or nothing can replace what it is to have good friends. And when you're away from your good friends, that's when you're away from home. Now, thankfully, we've got good friends. We are good friends with each other, so that helps. But we leave a lot of people behind. A lot of people that we've left behind are the very people that got us off in the first place, you know, the very, very people that came to our first gigs when we played the Dandelion Market. There's, you know, there are many of them, and I include the Virgin Prunes in that, because when we formed the group U2, there was the Virgin Prunes and a whole set of people who, and I think at many points Virgin Prunes passed out U2 in terms of their music. This is when we were both getting together. And they came to our concerts and they yelled and screamed, and we went to their concerts and we yelled and screamed, and they were our good and our close friends. And as you leave home and leave such people behind and lose contact, that is kind of, that tears at you a bit. And you come home, you try to get it, you know, get things close, and you find that you can't get as close as you were. And this is compounded, of course, when you get to another land, another country, another city or metropolis in Europe or America, where everyone wants to be your friend but not really your friend. Mm-hmm. And I mean we used to have 10 people sleeping in my room. We'd have people sleeping there at night, fans that would be outside the hotel, we'd bring them in, and we've got to know our fans became our friends. And then we got to the situation where some of our fans expected us to bring them home, you know, actually, you know, in the suitcase and unpack them along with everything else. And then, you know, some people got upset, and then we got to the stage where, you know, hotels were giving us hassle, and you feel at times like you're getting cut off, really getting cut off. I got an amazing letter from a guy and his girlfriend. She's just had a baby. They're not married. And her name is Alison, and I just had a baby this week. And that letter I just sent to BP Fallon meant a lot to me, because it just meant that the music replaces us as people, because you can't get out and talk to everybody. You can't get out. I mean, if I could, I would. But the music talks to people. And and, you know, you get through correspondence, and you've got so many letters in here. Look at them. Hundreds of letters. And
we just have the camera in here for a second.
And, you know, there are people out there that I consider them my friends.
Well, do you find then the fact that you live in Dublin means more to people and less to people, sort of both at the same time?
That's a very confusing question.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I mean, the fact that you live in Dublin,
no,
is great.
I think that the
you're
point
here
really
exist,
is, Dave. Yeah. I think the point is that people respect us for the music that we make, and they respond to us in a different way to that they would respond to Duran Duran or whatever. I think there is a respect from the people that we meet in Dublin or anywhere else in the world that they know that it's not a case of he touched me. You know, it doesn't come down to that, so people don't relate to us in that way. It's much more important.
I had a great incident. I was driving along in my blue Opel Kadett, as it was at the time. I was driving along just after the Bob Dylan concert last year, and I pulled up at the lights, and these two dudes were walking the traffic lights, and they spotted me in the car, and they came over. So I rolled down the window, and I says, how's it going? And this guy stuck his head in the car, you know, could smell his breath. And he started looking around the car, as Dublin people tend to do, you know, seeing what you're reading, what, you know, what newspaper you had in that day. He says, how are you, Bono? I said, how are you? He said, I saw you up there, you know, Slane Castle, Bob Dylan. And I said, yeah, that's right. He said, saw you up there on stage with Dylan. So you were singing with him there. And I said, ah, yeah, that's right. He said, what the fuck were you playing at? I said, what? He said, yeah, he said, you were way off the mark there. He says, what got into you there? He said, you must be off your head, aren't you, to think you could sing alongside Bob Dylan and, like, not be anything other than a jerk. And I just said, I think you're right there, mate. And, you know, he walked on his way. And, like, I, you know, drove the car to rehearsal and got on with another day. And I wouldn't have it any other way, you know, because this is the city we live in. And I love this city.
All right, that's fair enough, Bono. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do the competition now. Do you want to take out three? The first three prizes are all 5U2 albums. There's also another 17 prizes, I think, of the four-pack singles and albums as well. But just do the first three for the moment.
Beatty fans.
I realise that.
Can we get him in?
Come on in, Bernard. Pick one out there, BP.
He's my hero.
James, you're waiting for always.
All right, Bernard.
What does one do here?
This is a competition, right?
We want prizes,
you, okay?
No one will want to win.
And the second prize is two of you.
Heavy hand vibe into the thing, though. Right. Authentic sound. Right. Noisy vibe. Listen to that paper, folks. With the worst sound. Right.
So it's a
reading vibe. It's picky here.
Hold on, before you read out the winner, there's one very important thing. We've got so many entries, I just can't believe it. So for all those people who lost, I'm really sorry that you lost. And here are the three first winners.
This is for Manon address.
Shall I read this out? I can read, actually.
Go ahead, Bernard.
From Patrick McCaffrey, I think, Shore Road, FS. I don't know what that means. Roscoe, something or other, County Fermanagh, U2 competition answer, New Year's Day.
That's right, that's the right
answer. And it says Dave Fanning, it must be right.
Right, this is one from Anne Birmingham, Finola McIntosh from Lower Mount Street. And they got the right answer as well. What was the question?
The question was, under a blood red sky is a line from a U2 song. What's the name of the song?
Pride.
The name of the Pride. A lot of people said Pride. An awful lot said Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Well, New Year's Day is right.
They wouldn't have found the answer.
That's two winners. Let's get a third winner.
Hey, look, somebody sent a brown envelope.
Mind your tea there, Vanna. It's going to fall over.
Okay. So am I, actually. U2 competition, yeah. The line under blood red sky can be found in the song New Year's Day. This entry was sent in by Rachel
Schnapp.
Snap. 144 Gosworth Road,
Macclesfield,
Cheshire, in England.
Really?
Hey, Cheshire, that's great. Do you really have a lot of people listening in from
millions
from England and
millions.
Wales?
Yeah. There, give that to Ian Wilson so he can put it away.
So how many have we got?
I hope we see her at Milton Keynes. That's where we're going on Saturday.
That's right, yeah.
We're playing a concert there in the Milton Keynes Bowl. It's kind of our English and Scottish and Welsh equivalent of Croke Park.
All right, listen, wait a minute. We've all played songs we want to play. There's a million others here that I know you want to play, and you've just got this Simple Minds album down, Adam, I know. But I'm just going to play this one here because Larry asked for this one, and we're going to pick out the other 17 winners as well. Here goes. Oh, that wasn't cued in. Oh, there it is. Good man, Bruce. Take it away. Before that, you heard Bruce Springsteen. And don't go away because we're not finished yet with U2 Live. Right now on Radio 2, it's 10 o'clock.
There's a
Disco featuring our own Dave Fanning and B.P. Fallon. And it's on Friday the 21st of June at the new Napper Arms Hotel, Oldcastle. And it's between 11 and 2.
County Meath.
And it's...
County Meath.
County Meath.
Of course, County Meath. Everyone knew that.
Of course. And it's a great cause. And I think everyone should dig deep into their pockets and be along.
Starting with you, AJ. Huh?
Oh, well, I'd be there, of course.
It must also be a milestone, because it's the first thing that you've ever done free.
Well, I don't think I get paid for this, actually.
For no good reason, shall I?
That was very loud, lad.
BP's thinking of his retirement.
God, what a heavy vibe.
Next week's not that good.
If are you all looking at me, am I supposed to ask a question?
You're in charge, Dave.
Oh, the
conversation, DJ jumps in.
Are you going to turn Boland's Bakery into a museum?
Oh, they knocked down my favourite building. That's on the docks.
Yeah.
They knocked it down. And I don't know what to be. I think Boland's Bakery would be just the best. Yeah.
I didn't know about the bakery. There.
No, we're talking about Boland's
Bakery. The gasworks, that's what it was, that big red building down there.
It's really something.
Why did you bring that up?
I don't know, just why not? We don't serve sandwiches.
Myself and Dave were talking about various things the other week.
That's right.
When we were home.
Bono bought me a pint last Friday.
I did.
I bought him at last later.
We talked about the new REM album. We talked about, the New Order album.
Mm.
We talked about why the Smiths
went to the gig. Did you listen to that tape I gave you, the New Order album? No, you didn't listen to the tape I gave you.
What was that about?
I did listen to
the REM album there, or at least the tape you do, yeah.
Tell him about the Waterboys.
What about the Waterboys?
About they've recorded this incredible song from Outfidels, which is the
outtakes of Bob Dylan's last album.
That's right. And there's this song called Death Is Not the End, and it's quite brilliant, is it not, Bono?
Yeah, we took the Waterboys on the road with us, you know, in England and in America, and they're just a band to really watch out for. As are, by the way, Cactus World News. That tape you did with them, with Ian Wilson produced. By the way, Ian, do you ever say anything on your own program? Why don't you sit in and join us?
Anyway,
I think definitely very well. That's an excellent tape. That's the Waterboys. What else were we talking about?
We were talking about Cactus World News into a new... you mean last Friday?
Cactus World.
Have we got into a new track to play out on?
A good one to play out on. Well, I have Into a Nua here lined up.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I'll play out on that.
We've got to give Jerry back his show.
Yeah, we've got to give Jerry back his show.
Thank you, Jerry, by the way.
Thank you very much, Jerry. We'll just play one more song. Pick a record from those millions of fans out there.
The Hoodoo Gurus.
The Hoodoo Gurus.
I think an alarm record.
Yeah, the alarm record. Going out in a blaze of glory, I think, says it all.
Going out in a blaze of glory. All right, okay, well, listen, look, I might as well say it now then. Thank you very much, Jerry, for your program, and the rest of you get lost. No, thank you very much, Edge. Thank you very much, Larry. Thank you very much, Adam. Thank you very much, Bono. Thank you very much, Bernard. Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you very much, Miles and Sounds and everybody else. Oh, Ian Wilson.
And Ian Wilson.
And Ian Wilson.
And the catering.
And the catering.
Oh, yeah.
He's a badass cabin.
The man under the stairs.
And remember, 29th of June. McGonagall's.
Sorry. Croke Park, the 29th of June, that's next Saturday week. And if you happen to be anywhere near Milton Keynes, well,
the
don't
Grapevine
bother
going
to you, because if you don't have a ticket, it's too late. And the Grapevine Arts Centre, thanks very much to them, because you mentioned earlier you're going to have that exhibition. When is that again?
Starting on the Friday before the gig and going on to the Friday after the gig.
And no cost this Friday to get ready for the gig.
Right, exactly. There's one other thing, Bono, that you mentioned to me the other day, which I don't know if I should mention at all, but I'll just say, is there any about that gig you were talking to me about? You don't want to mention about that yet. It's going to happen sometime around.
I know.
Okay, right, okay.
Secret vibes.
Okay, well, Donkashun.
I'll
take this track here. Listen, thank you all very much for coming in. Here's Ian Tuanua. Good luck to you all. Jerry, it's your program from here on in.